How do you land your dream job? It starts by acing the interview. Learn exactly what hiring managers are looking for with CNBC Make It's new career boosting online course. Get the limited time offer. Register now at cnbcmakeit.com/courses.
Hello and welcome to the first options action of 2021. While 2020 could be called a year of extremes, this new year is only pushing the envelope even further. And for you traders, this is when options shine even brighter. With me tonight, as always, Carter Worth, Mike Coe, and Tony Zhang. Let's get right to it. It's not just the major indices that are continuing to run headlong into January. Everything that goes into everything, commodities, are running right along with them. But Carter Worth thinks just because everyone, or again, in this case, everything is doing it again, doesn't mean you should too. Carter, what are you looking at?
That's right. I mean, this has been an extraordinary period for all things macro, whether it's the dollar, the big move in rates, equities in general. We thought we'd zero in here on the move in the dollar and then the prospective concomitant move in commodities. So the first chart, this is just the U.S. dollar chart, and it's in a free fall. We know this. Just to put this in context, not shown here, there are only 9 instances in history, going back to the 1970s, where the U.S. dollar index has not had a counter-trend move back towards its 150-day moving average this long. Basically, we're up to 9 months. It's only happened 9 out of the times. That's a probability of occurrence of 0.08%. Now, take a look at the next chart. We are now down in the U.S. dollar, right to those lows of late 2017, 2018. You can see I annotated the chart there with a circle. At this point, based on how rare it is to go this far without some sort of counter trend move, that's what we're thinking. So third chart, what we're thinking at a minimum is that the downtrend line, in effect, since the peak, that we throw back, we kick back to that downtrend line. Now, that would be a 3-4% move in the dollar up. And so the thinking is that commodities, which have been on a tear, of course, will suffer a bit. Next chart. This is the continuous commodity futures price index, the old CRB. And it has everything in it. But we know copper's up 90% from its March low. Soybeans are up 70%. Corn is up almost 70%. And so you can see that it's virtually a straight line. But it's the reciprocal of the dollar. So the next chart, take a look. I've just done the exact opposite of the dollar. I've drawn the trend line off of the March low, in the case of the dollar, the March high. And at a minimum, I think we check back to trend. Now, keep that chart right there in your mind's eye and look at the final chart, John Deere. It's identical. In fact, it literally is identical. And so John Deere, having tripled, was 100 in March, is basically 300 now. We think that it checks back. And so just one or two statistics to end. It's trading 40% above its 150-day moving average, the highest ever recorded going back to the 1970s. And then of the 21 analysts that cover it, their price target is 283. That's lower than where the stock closed. We're sellers of commodities, Fade the Move, and John Deere.
All right. So, Mike, what's the trade on Deere then?
Yeah. So, I mean, basically, it's been a perfect setup for Deere so far, coming through to these highs that we find ourselves in right now. I mean, as Carter was pointing out, we have higher commodity prices. That's obviously good for the agricultural sector, and obviously Deere more than some of the other industrial equipment makers like Cat and so on. They get most of their business from that. The other thing you obviously have supporting all of this is that we have very low rates. This is, you know, these types of goods often financed. So this is an attractive time for farmers to invest in equipment. So those things are certainly positives as well. One other thing I would say is that while oil has recovered very, very sharply, we're far from the all-time highs there. And the reason that these commodities are doing so well, the softs, I think that Carter was referring to, it isn't simply just the inverse of the dollar. We also just fundamentally have a good setup. The anticipated exports for wheat, for example, are well above the 5-year average. The thing is, though, if we take a look at the price-to-earnings ratio of Deere, or if we take a look at the enterprise value to EBITDA, any of a host of these metrics, what we're seeing is that it's approaching basically the all-time highs that you typically get in this stock. And these stocks tend to be cyclical. So does this mean that I think Deere's in big trouble? Does this mean I think there's something wrong with the company? It doesn't mean any of those things. But it does feel like we're getting to a level where any further gains are going to be a lot harder to come by. The other thing is that we still do see slightly elevated options prices. So what I was taking a look at was a diagonal put spread. Now, the advantage of using a diagonal put spread is that if the stock simply trades sideways, even if it goes up very slightly or if it drifts lower, all of these are ways that we can see profits. Of course, there will be various degrees of profits. And specifically, the trade I was looking at was the March 290, February 280 diagonal put spread. So I'd be buying the March 290 puts. Those were trading for about $15 when I was looking at this earlier today. Selling the February 280s against it for $7.75. Net-net, you'd be laying out about $7.25. The idea is the shorter-dated option will decay more rapidly than the longer-dated one that you own that is also closer to the money. Also, notice that because it's a diagonal and the amount we're spending is less than the distance between the strikes, this is not a situation where you can be so right that you're wrong. In other words, if the stock really rolls over, this trade will be profitable no matter how low Deere goes. But I'm not expecting it to completely fall out of bed. What I'm expecting is that the rally is not going to continue.
Tony, what do you think of the structure of this trade?
Yeah, so I particularly like the structure of the trade because, as Mike said, the business is still fairly strong here. You have John Deere generated almost $7 billion in free cash flow last year. It pays a 3% dividend yield, and it weathered COVID pretty well from an earnings and revenue perspective. But Carter is also right on the charts. You know, by any stretch, if you look at this, it's overextended, it's overbought, it has classic signs of exhaustion here. If you look at the weekly RSI, it's above 80 now, which is a level that we haven't seen since January of 2018. So for all those reasons, I like the business, but I do expect that there's a bit of a pullback here, and Mike's trade structure is more of a neutral play rather than a bearish play. And for those reasons, I like that because, especially if you look at the softs here like corn and soybean, I don't particularly think that these agriculture commodities are going to pull back here. I think there's some strength here that they can actually continue moving higher here. So for those reasons, I like this more neutral play, risking only about 2.5% of the stock's price.
Carter, I'm curious about the dollar. So many trades that are doing well in today's market are predicated on a weaker dollar. How much of a bounce would you anticipate in the dollar index?
Well, hard to know, but it's the principles of the behavior of money. Think about things that are in great big uptrends. They have givebacks. Think of Bitcoin. Things that are in downtrends have throwbacks, meaning counter trend moves, counter to the primary trend, are a natural and normal part of how money behaves, if you will. And so whether it's a 2% pop in the currency, and remember, currencies don't move very much, 2% is a very large move, or whether it's 3, the thinking is that it's likely to do something along those lines rather than just continue to sink. And again, to think that it's only happened 9 other times, going back to 1970, that's extreme.
Yeah, that's amazing. Another good encapsulation of everything we've just been discussing, airlines. But Tony Zhang notes that glide paths can all be different. There's one stock with reason to have heart. Tony, what are you looking at?
Well, I love LUV, Southwest Airlines, which I think is actually going to be the airline that's going to weather the COVID storm the best out of the three major airlines. So if we first start off by taking a look at the chart here, Southwest recently broke out above a $44 resistance level on the Pfizer and Moderna vaccine news. And so far, it's been able to hold that level, and it's been actually outperforming the S&P since August here. So I think that there is a base forming here above this $44 level. And with earnings coming up in about 2 weeks, that could be the catalyst that needs to break out above this base and continue moving higher here. If you look at the business itself, what's interesting about Southwest compared to the Big Four is the fact that during COVID, Southwest, which traditionally has been number 4 in terms of seat miles flown, has now moved up to number 2 compared to the Big Four. So that's a pretty big move considering the fact that they are solely focused on domestic leisure travel, which is the only aspect of airline travel that has seen any type of gains since the start of the pandemic. And if we look at the balance sheet here for Southwest Airlines, it's fairly different from any of the other big three. It has a negative debt position, which does limit some of its upside potential here. But for me, I think investing in this fairly uncertain times for airlines. I think I'd prefer safety over riskier assets like American Airlines or United. And then lastly, if we look at the fact that during COVID, Southwest Airlines is the only airline expanding their network versus all the other airlines are trying to pull back. So for those reasons, I think Southwest is going to emerge out of all of this as a stronger airline. So if you look at the trade structure here, Southwest currently has a relatively low implied volatility. I want to take advantage of that fact that there's earnings coming up in 2 weeks. That's a potential catalyst event for it to move higher here. So I'm going out to March and I'm buying the 45-55 call vertical here, spending about $4.40 for that March $45 call option, which is a call option that's actually $2 in the money. And I'm selling the March $55 calls against it for about 95 cents. Net-net here, I'm paying about $3.45. It is quite expensive, about a little over 7% of the underlying stock's price, but I'm purposely choosing that in-the-money call options to reduce the time decay that I'm paying for this.
Tony, I have a quick question before we get the trader's take on the trade, and that is, why did you pick earnings as a catalyst when all the reasons why you like Southwest are very long-term arguments for the stock, for the bullish outlook on the stock?
Well, I've actually been a put seller of Southwest Airlines because of the fact that I like the stock, but because of the earnings announcement, I think that that is the catalyst that it needs to break out above the current range that it's currently trading in. But I do still have a long-term outlook here for the stock. I would look to roll that higher here if Southwest Airlines does break out higher. And if it does, if let's say earnings comes out fairly poor, I'm reducing my risk by a fair amount by using an option strategy rather than buying the stock for a long-term investment.
Mike, what do you think of Southwest? What do you think of this trade in particular?
So I like Southwest relative to the other airlines. You know, one of the things that I would think about is a pent-up demand. So I think business travel might potentially be slower to recover than leisure travel. That would be bullish, I think, for Southwest Airlines, which really caters to individual travelers. That's obviously a positive. As Tony pointed out, they have a very strong balance sheet, net cash on the balance sheet. In fact, they have, as of their last reported quarter, I think something like $14 billion in change, which is greatly in excess of the cash burn that they're experiencing this year. So very comfortable position there. The other thing I like about his trade, I have to say, is that although it's true, implied volatility in Southwest has fallen considerably since the peak that we saw back in March, it's still about double where it was a year ago. So we're looking at maybe 41-42% implied volatility versus 21 or so in December of 2019. And that's the reason why using this in-the-money call spread makes a lot of sense. He's basically trying to minimize the amount of extrinsic options premium. That's the amount of decay that you're going to have for having this position on to a minimum by doing that. And so I think the trade structure also makes sense. The other thing is that you want to, when you're using verticals like this one, you know, you want to keep them relatively short dated, particularly if you have something like a catalyst like that, so that if it does run up to your short strike, that you're going to get most of the difference between the strikes in terms of value.
Carter, what do you think of this airline?
Sure. Well, remember, this is the quality name, so to speak. It's the largest in terms of market cap. It has the best balance sheet. And also what we know is that it has done the best in terms of working off of its March low. So to think that, of course, LUV was as high as 58.60 in February before the pandemic hit a low of 25. And now it is just at its November sort of Moderna Pfizer Newsday spike. It's the best of the bunch, and I think Tony's got it right. It's going to work higher.
All right. Still to come, we still have open trades to adjust in this new year. Mike Coe is going to add some more sense to the dollar and some figures that are almost beyond comprehension. Plus, don't forget to check out our website, optionsaction.cnbc.com. While you're there, you can also sign up for our newsletter. Stay tuned.
How do you land your dream job? It starts by acing the interview. Learn exactly what hiring managers are looking for with CNBC Make It's new career-boosting online course. Get the limited-time offer. Register now at cnbcmakeit.com/courses.
Welcome back to Options Action. We just broke down some trades about the dollar's impact on commodities. Now let's talk about the dollar's impact on the dollar. The greenback bouncing off its lowest levels in nearly 3 years today, rallying in the face of a dismal jobs report and increased stimulus hopes. But is this bounce just a blip on the radar for a dollar that is headed much lower, or is it beginning of a rally that could have some legs? Mike Coe is going to attempt to answer some of those questions with a call to action. Mike.
So I think one of the things we have to think about, a lot of people have been struggling to figure out what's going on in these markets. We had some unprecedented things take place in 2020. For example, we went from the lowest recorded unemployment, 3.5% at the beginning of the year, to the sharpest spike in unemployment as the pandemic and the response to it broke out. So you would think that that would obviously be extremely contractionary. And yet here we are. Risk assets are essentially all trading at all-time highs. What caused this, and what is the impact on things like the dollar? Well, some of the things that bolstered risk assets we talk about a lot, but maybe we should throw some numbers on it to give it some sense of perspective. We've talked about very aggressive monetary policy. The Fed's balance sheet increased by $3.2 trillion from the beginning of 2020 until the end. That is absolutely remarkable. Long-term rates fell essentially to zero. And in the midst of all of that, we had an unprecedented fiscal response as well. If you take a look at what the CBO was predicting for the federal budget deficit at the beginning of 2020, it was $1.1 trillion. The actual number for the year, that includes both on and off budget items, $4.4 trillion, an increase of $3.2 trillion over the forecast number. Put those two things together and just think about what the net impact is going to be on things like risk assets. That's an increase of $6.4 trillion. That's more than 30% of the $20.5 trillion U.S. GDP. So we had a lot of trades that were trying to play off of that. We made bullish trades in EEM. We made bullish trades in things like gold and silver. For those that were lucky enough to get on that train, they bought Bitcoin or they just bought equities. But now, you know, we have to also remember that there are other countries that are facing similar problems. Now we might have a situation where on a relative basis, our currency is going to be priced off of theirs as well. So we don't just operate in a vacuum. So we put some bearish trades on the dollar. In fact, in November, we bought the 25 strike puts that expire in March in UUP to make that bearish bet. We actually rolled that in December. For those people who are watching, you'll remember that. Right now, that March put, that 25 put's trading for about 90 cents. We paid 45 cents for it. We are thinking that maybe now is the time to take profits on those types of bearish UUP trades and potentially play for a little bit of a bounce. Why? Some of the other things we're starting to see, rising rates. If you have an improving economy, all else equal, if you have rising rates, all else equal, that can actually support the local currency. And of course, other central banks, other governments are doing many of the same things that ours have been doing. So on a relative basis, their currencies are going to face those same pressures that ours have. What is a way we could play that? I was looking at March, now the 24 strike calls. Those were trading for about 50 cents when I was looking at those earlier today. This is a way that you could play for a short-term bounce. Now, as Carter earlier pointed out, currencies tend not to move that much. They are very stable, generally speaking, certainly relative to some of the other risk assets we're talking about. But, you know, you can buy at the money calls. Typically, that's what you would want to do, buy it very close to or at the money and give yourself a little bit of time for it to play out.
Yeah, and as we mentioned before, Carter, there are a plethora of trades that are tied to the dollar weakening. And so I'm wondering where you think the most vulnerability may be at this point.
Well, that was sort of the hope at the top of the hour to do the commodities trade in the sense that we made a big bet, Mike and I, to be short the dollar, thinking that it was going to do what, in fact, happily it has done, which is collapse. And yet, referring to those statistics again, it has been such a long period of time without a counter trend move, we think we take the road less traveled, flip it around, and make a bet for a dollar bounce. And in principle, a dollar bounce, the most immediate or concomitant thing would be a give back in commodities.
All right, we've actually got some breaking news out of Washington, so let's get straight to Kayla Tausche. Kayla.
Melissa, we're just getting a statement from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi essentially supporting a move by her members to present articles of impeachment next week. I'm going to read the statement from the speaker as it appears in full. It says, today, the House Democratic Caucus had an hours-long conversation that was sad, moving, and patriotic. It was a conversation unlike any other because it followed an action unlike any other. It is the hope of members that the president will immediately resign. But if he does not, I have instructed the Rules Committee to be prepared to move forward with Congressman Jamie Raskin's 25th Amendment legislation and a motion for impeachment. Accordingly, the House will preserve every option, including the 25th Amendment, a motion to impeach, or a privileged resolution for impeachment. With great respect, our deliberations will continue. So clearly, Pelosi is backing all options that Congress has available to it to remove President Trump from office. Notably absent from the statement, Melissa, is whether she received the blessing from President-elect Joe Biden, with whom she spoke this afternoon and was going to discuss this very issue. But certainly, Pelosi had been weighing her own position earlier today. But the fact that she is putting out this statement suggests that she has received a signal to proceed. Melissa?
Timeline is tight, Kayla. It doesn't seem like they would be able to get it done, and yet they proceed. So is this simply just a marker to say this is where we stand on this issue with this president?
Perhaps it is, Melissa. Some of the draft articles of impeachment that had been circulated today were very short in nature, citing the events of this week at the Capitol and citing the president's phone call with Georgia election officials over last weekend. It is a very tight timeline, but so far House Democrats are expected to present the articles formally at the beginning of next week. That is what our colleagues at NBC News are reporting. And they want to make a statement and put on the record how they feel about the actions of this president, whether they could actually complete these proceedings, mm-hmm. and whether or not they could actually get a changed outcome in the Senate this time around is still unclear. But just this evening, Melissa, there is also an explosive interview from Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski, mm-hmm. also calling on President Trump to resign. So perhaps they are just hoping that these calls would reach a fever pitch and he would make that decision, although knowing how the president responds to things like this, it is unlikely he would do so. Melissa?
Kayla, thank you. Kayla Tausche in Washington. Options Action will be right back. Stay tuned. Get another check on the record rally on Wall Street. All three averages closing at new all-time highs. Options Action will be back right after this. Final call, Carter.
John Deere, just too far, too fast. Sell.
Tony.
Love LUV, buy call spread.
Mike.
Diagonal put spreads in Deere.
All right, thanks for watching. Mad Money with Jim Cramer starts right now.
How do you land your dream job? It starts by acing the interview. Go to cnbcmakeit.com/courses to register now and learn exactly what hiring managers are looking for with CNBC Make It's new career-boosting online course, where experts share their secrets for a dynamic resume, coming across with confidence, what to wear, and more. For a limited time, save 50% with our introductory offer. Register now at cnbcmakeit.com/courses.